But let's take our Bible this morning, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 51 is the text for our message this morning as we continue our study in the Gospel of John. Remember that the Gospel of John was written by John the Apostle, and he was a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ. He doesn't refer to himself in the book by name at all. We've mentioned that already. He had a great purpose in writing the book of John. The Gospel of John is written according to John chapter 20, that people may believe in Jesus Christ and that believing they might have life through his name. What a great purpose for a book. Of course, that's what the Bible is written for. The Bible is written that people would come to know the Lord and then to walk with him and to know him in a personal way. It's a wonderful thing that we have a creator God who made us and wants to fellowship with us. He wants us to know him personally, and what a great, wonderful truth that is to consider, even at the outset of the message this morning. To follow is to find out more about somebody or something, and see where they're going, what they're doing. Usually following something or somebody begins with an interest in that, and then it leads on from that to a trying to find out more. Inquisitiveness leads to inquiry, which leads to fulfillment, hopefully, if it's the right thing to follow, which leads to telling other people about it. People follow a lot of things today and a lot of people today, and I would say that the word follow in today's technological age has probably changed what we think of following before the last, 5 years? Today we talk about following somebody on Facebook. People follow people they've never met. They don't know who they are, but they follow them. People follow people by Twitter and those other things that the people say they are following them on Instagram or they're following them on Twitter. They talk about following people, but people follow many things today. It may be a person. It may be a particular diet or a particular program, and they say, well, I'm following this. It means they found out about it and they are doing what this program said. Some things that people follow are fads. They come and go. And people get all hung up and they follow it and then it fades out and then they jump to another thing to follow and jump to another thing to follow and go from one thing to another. When people get excited about following something though, the natural response is to tell somebody else. Hey, you never guess what? I tried this diet and it works. I tried this exercise program and it works. And they start telling people about it. I'm following this and you should see it's really interesting. They tell other people about it, hoping that those other people will catch the vision to follow as well and to be enthusiastic about it. It's no surprise to those of you who know the Lord today that the Christian life is about following. It's about following not just a program, but it's about following a person. It's about following the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We hear about Jesus Christ and his salvation, how he can change our lives and how he can bring a satisfaction to our life that we didn't have before. We hear people talk about that. We are curious about it. Then we say, I'm going to check this out. And people follow. They begin to ask questions. And then as we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we come to know the fulfillment and joy that it brings. And when we know that, we say, I've got to tell somebody else about this great joy that I've found in Jesus Christ in my life. It's about following. Last week we saw that John the Baptist was already a follower of Jesus Christ. He was called to prepare the way for Christ, but he was also a very vocal follower of Jesus Christ. This morning in our text, as we follow along from John's ministry a little bit and move on from there, we'll see that there were others who followed Jesus. They became followers of the Master. Their lives were forever changed as a result of following Jesus Christ, and they wanted others to know him as well. And this morning in our text, I would like to challenge each of us in following the Master. Let's read our text here in John chapter 1, verse 35. It says, again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for your word today. Thank you for the testimony, the example of these who followed you, some who you called, some who were pointed to you, others who were led to you. But Lord, we thank you for each one who chose to follow you. And Lord, I pray that we would be challenged by their lives this morning, be challenged by the need of our life to follow you. Lord, if there be anyone here this morning who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today they would see that you are one worthy of following. You are the one who gives eternal life. And Lord, you are the one who brings joy and satisfaction to our life here. And Lord, I pray that they would choose to follow you and receive your wonderful gift of salvation. And Lord, may us who know you also be challenged this morning to bring others to you whom to know is life eternal. May we have the same desire as John the Apostle, who wrote these words, inspired of God, but wrote these words down for us this morning, Lord, that we would have the desire that people would hear about Jesus, and that hearing they would believe, and that believing they would have life through his name. And so, Lord, I pray that we be challenged, and we leave here determined more to follow our Master this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see in the first few verses of our text this morning about fulfilling his mission. This morning we picked up where we left off last week with the ministry of John the Baptist. Though in some ways what takes place in the beginning of our text here this morning was probably a hard thing for John, it was also a fulfillment of his calling. It's noted in verse 35 that two of John's disciples were with him. It says again the next day, this is the day after what we preached about last week, about the those who came and were asking John who he was and why he was baptizing and so on. And John had declared that day, Behold the Lamb of God, when Jesus came by. And here in verse 35, it's the next day, and John and two of his disciples are standing there, likely in the same place. John was probably preparing to baptize people, as he did in his ministry. And so he has stood there with two of his disciples beside him. Often we think of that term disciples in the sense of followers of Jesus Christ. But John had disciples. The word disciple, it means a learner or a pupil. We might say it's a student. And there are many applications of that. Jesus said to some of the religious leaders of his day that they had disciples. They made disciples of people. And so that word disciple in itself is just talking about really a follower, a learner, a student. It's to be expected that John had people who wanted to learn from him and follow him because he was a prominent religious leader of his day in the sense he was calling people to turn to God. People went out to hear him and they followed him. And so these people, these disciples were stood there. One of them, we find out a little bit later in our text, his name is Andrew. The other one is not mentioned. It is believed that probably the other one who is not mentioned is none other than the penman of this Gospel of John, John the Apostle. Again, he didn't refer to himself by name in this book, but it's believed that he was probably the one who was with Andrew. But we find in verse 36 that John then made a declaration. As he is standing there with two of his disciples beside him, it says in verse 36, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." He said it the day before. His message was consistent, but he made a declaration to say, "Behold, there is Jesus. He is the Lamb of God." The Lamb of God had come and was present. It was Jesus, God's own Son. And John was telling people, listen, here's the Lamb of God. Just like I told you yesterday, this is the Lamb of God. Upon hearing that declaration, we find that these two disciples left following John and followed after Jesus. At first thought, we may think John would have been discouraged by that. For two of his followers, probably learned people who had a real hunger to learn, said, "Thanks, John. See you later." And they followed after Jesus. In some ways, he may have been a little discouraged, and it's never easy to see people go and to see people move on, no matter what the reason it may be. But these were men he'd gotten to know. He probably appreciated them and their desire to learn. But John's testimony was, "I've come to prepare people for the Lord." And when the Lord stepped on the scene, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And when two of his own disciples said, "If that's the Lamb of God, we're following him," John must have also felt a satisfaction. That's what I came to do. And their people are following Jesus. He is the one to be followed. I came to prepare people to meet him, and these people are following after him. When asked in chapter 3 about Jesus having more followers than him, John said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." He said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." He said, "I'm just the friend of the bridegroom that's announcing that the bridegroom is coming. Follow him." In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, which was divided over who to follow. "I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of..." Paul said, "Listen, who are we? We're just ministers by whom you believe the gospel. Don't follow us so closely that you look to us. Look past us to Jesus. Be followers of Christ." The point is today that Christian leaders ought to look to point people to Jesus Christ, not to amass followers after themselves, but to just be a channel to say, "Look to Jesus. I can't save you, but Jesus can. I may let you down. I try not to let people down, but I may let you down. I'm just flesh and blood. I'm just a human being. But Jesus will never let you down. Look to him. Follow him." So John's mission was really accomplished in a real sense. These two disciples were, what happened to them was exactly what John aimed to do. And so we find that these two men followed the Messiah. On the recommendation of the one whom they respected, they left off following him and went to follow Jesus. It began in verse 37 with observation. It says, "The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus." There's no indication that there was any discussion. I'm sure they said to John, "Listen, John, if this is Jesus, we feel we should be following him." And John no doubt gave him their blessing, but there's no indication that there was any conversation between them and Jesus. It's not like there's anything said that they went to Jesus, "Hey Jesus, do you mind if we follow you?" The Bible says that they followed him. It seems that at this point that we would say they were silent observers. John says this is the Lamb of God. We want to watch and see what this is. Do we believe what John said? We believe what John said. We're going to watch his life. We're going to listen to his words. We're going to see how he lives and what he does. And we're just going to follow him and observe. It was observation. You know, to follow the Messiah begins with observation. It may be reading his word and finding out about Him. You get curious. You hear somebody talk about following Jesus and you say, you know, something missing in my life. I'm going to find out about that. I'm going to open up a Bible and I'm going to just look for myself. Maybe no fanfare made about it. I just got to find out a little bit about this. And you take a Bible and you start to read and you start to look and think, well, what is it about this Jesus that everyone talks about? It will invariably include, though, observing the lives of those who claim to follow Him. You know, you think about somebody following Jesus Christ. Somebody has well said, the only Bible some may read is your life and mine. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ yourself, don't be surprised if somebody's looking at your life and observing to see if this Jesus you talk about is worth following. See, these men observed Andrew and if it be John, whoever it was, they looked and they followed. They watched Jesus' life. It makes our testimonies as Christians a very important thing, doesn't it? No wonder Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our lives should be that which reflects Jesus Christ and points people to Him. If you're here this morning and you're wondering about Jesus Christ, I invite you to observe Him. Look in His Word. Read about Him. See what the Bible has to say about Him. Ask Him to show Himself to you, and I guarantee that He will do so. See, the psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." So with this observation, they began to follow the Messiah. They began by just watching and seeing what He was doing. But then we see that as they followed Jesus, some conversation began. In verse 38, Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto Him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" There was some conversation that ensued the observation that they had been, as they've been watching. It would seem like it was almost immediate, but we don't know. There's a little bit of time had gone by here. We don't know what time of day it was yet, although we're told in the next verse what time of day it was by that part of the story. But Jesus turned and addressed these who were following Him. He knew why they were following Him. He knew that John had been declaring Him to be the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He knew that they were truly seeking Him and wanting to know more about Him. And may I say to you this morning that nobody who is seeking and observing the Lord goes unnoticed by Him. He knows. He's looking, the Bible says, for those who are seeking Him. You may be here this morning and you say, I'm not sure about this, but I just like to see. I've been watching some things. I've been reading some things. I just like to know a little bit more about it. May I say to you this morning, the Lord knows that you're seeking Him. And He invites you to talk to Him. He invites you to converse with Him. Nobody who truly observes the Lord will leave without Him having spoken to them. And so we see that the observation led to conversation, which led to communication in verse 39. They converse back and forth a little bit, and then it says in verse 39, Jesus said to them, when they asked, "Where do you live? Where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. True communication, by the way, is more than just exchanging a few words. Communication is really a kind of fellowship. It's the sharing of life. And Jesus invited these men who were wondering about Him. You want to get to know Me? Then spend some time with Me. Communication. They spent the balance of the day with Him. The Bible says here it was about the 10th hour. Going by the typical manner of telling time in New Testament times, that the 10th hour would be 4 p.m. Their day began at 6 a.m. and their night began at 6 p.m. And so it went 10 hours from 6 a.m., of course, would be 4 p.m. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was late supper time, we might say. It was later in the day. They said, "Where dwellest thou?" Jesus said, "Come and see." And they went, and they dwelt with him. They abode with him the balance of that day. Where exactly they went, we don't know. Where Jesus was likely staying with a friend or family. He would later state that he had nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a home of his own that was Jesus' house, we might say. We know that his dwelling is in heaven, and he was sojourning on the earth for a short while, but he didn't have a home of his own per se on this earth, but he was staying with somebody, and he invited them to come back there with him to spend some time to get together, to spend some time with him. You know, there's nothing like spending time with somebody if you really want to get to know them. I said before, we say that we follow people by Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever these things, we follow them. Well, you really don't know the people that you follow unless you know them in person as well. I can say that I know Prime Minister Harper. All I know is that he's the Prime Minister. I know some things about him. I don't know him. I've never met him. If I was to really say I know him, I would have to meet him, sit down with him, talk to him, just get talk about life and see where things... That would be how you get to know somebody, isn't it? These men went back with Jesus to his house and they spent some time together and communicated with him. And again, may I say to you this morning, Jesus invites you to communicate with him, to open up and share your heart. I'm sure these men have some questions. John told us that you're the Lamb of God. We've been watching you. We've been hearing about what you're saying. We want to know you, Master. And they spent some time getting to know him. Jesus invites you to communicate with him, to open up and share your heart, to give him the opportunity to reveal himself to you. And communication takes time. Time spent communicating with the Lord, though, is time well spent. And I would say to you this morning that you would be well advised to spend some time in the Bible, to spend some time in prayer, saying, "Lord, show yourself to me," if you're seeking him this morning. As a Christian, of course, that communication should increase as we get to know him more. And so we see that there was a fulfillment of a mission in the beginning with John. There was a following of the Messiah, but we also find that there was some fishing for men in the rest of our text this morning. Fishing for men in verses 40 to 51. You know, the evidence that these two men became true followers of Jesus Christ is in their actions after they had spent time with him themselves. Their words leave no doubt as to their faith in him, because it says in verse 41, Andrew's comment to his brother was, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. We found him. We believe after watching him, after following him, after hearing what John told us about him, we believe in him. We know that he is the Messiah. We find Andrew went to find his brother in verses 40 to 42. Convincing family. It's interesting, isn't it? Andrew is not a disciple whose name is mentioned very many times, other than in the listing of the 12 apostles. You look in the Gospels and you find Andrew's name. Most times you find it is when Jesus chose the apostles, the 12, and he's named amongst them. Other than that, I think there's once or twice other. When people came and said, "We would see Jesus," some Greeks came and said, "We would see Jesus," they said that to Philip. Philip told it to Andrew, and Andrew told it to Jesus. Andrew's name is mentioned there. There's very few other places that Andrew is specifically mentioned. He's not a prominent disciple of Christ. But Andrew was fully convinced as to who Jesus was, and he went to find his brother. And again, he goes to Simon, as we've read the words here, and he said to Simon, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. It would seem to me that Simon Peter also was seeking. Because Andrew goes straight to him and says, "We found him. We found the Messiah." All Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah, and those people who don't, those who don't yet believe in Jesus Christ are still awaiting the Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah. Praise God, some have found out that he did come 2,000 years ago. We could say that they're Messianic Jews. They believe in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who has already come. But people were waiting in this time when Jesus came. The Jewish people particularly were waiting for the Messiah. It would seem to me that Simon was also waiting, because when Andrew said, "We found him," listen, we have found him. Remember, we've been looking for him and we have found him. It's also interesting to me that the Bible says that when Andrew has spent the afternoon with Jesus, verse 41 says, he first findeth his own brother. You know, he thought it was important enough to tell Simon about Jesus. It was a priority for him to go and find his brother and tell him about the Messiah. As we said at the outset, if you're convinced about something, you'll want others to know about it as well. And Andrew said, "We found the Messiah. Simon, we found him. Come on. I want to introduce you to him. I want to take you to him." And he brought him to Jesus, verse 42. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? And he brought him to Jesus. You know, that's what we're to do as Christians, is to bring people to Jesus. John had pointed Andrew and the other disciple of his to Jesus. Andrew says, "Simon, we found Jesus. You come and meet him." He brought him to Jesus. We would do well to bring more people to Jesus, to take the message of salvation to them and share about our Lord and Savior to them. Though we don't know much about Andrew, his brother Simon, we know a lot more about him. You find his name a lot mentioned in the Gospels. He became one of Jesus' closest followers, Peter, James, and John. Simon, Peter. Upon coming to Jesus, Simon's life was changed. His life was completely changed from the way it was before. He would go from being an outspoken fisherman to a bold fisher of men. But his name was also changed. Jesus said, "You're Simon, the son of Jonah." That's how people know you. Jonah was his dad's name. That's not Jonah that got swallowed by a whale. There's a few hundred years difference between there, but it was a common name, Jonah. Okay, your dad's name is Jonah. You're Simon, the son of Jonah. But you're going to be known by something else. I've got a new name for you, Simon. Your name is going to be Cephas, or Peter, which means a stone. Peter would become a building block in Jesus' ministry. He would become a building block of the church which Jesus established. Peter is not the cornerstone of the church. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. But the Bible tells us that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus said to Peter, "Listen, Peter, you're going to have an important part in my ministry. You're going to be part of the building that I am building, this church that I am building. You're going to have a new name." And so we just look at this and realize that because of his brother's witness, Simon Peter became a follower of Jesus Christ. Think with me about some applications from this morning. Realize that what we see here, that it's important to try and reach our family for the Lord. Andrew first findeth his own brother, Simon, and bringeth him to Jesus. He made it a priority. He said, "Listen, it's important that I tell you about the Lord. I've met him and I want you to know about him." Think about this also. We can never know the potential of a person whom we introduce to Jesus. Andrew was a disciple. Andrew was an apostle. But Andrew didn't have the limelight, the front and center position that his brother Simon had. I don't know whether Andrew had any concept of what Simon could become if he became a follower of Jesus. We really don't know. We tell people about the Lord. Some people may seem not to be interested. And we tell people about the Lord and then, you know, some of them believe and they go on to do great things. We don't know. May I say to you this morning, if you introduce somebody to Jesus Christ and they get saved and they grow and they thrive and they become something great for the Lord, don't be jealous of what they have been able to do. There's no record in the Bible that Andrew said, "Here, I brought Simon to Jesus, and he's the one that gets to be so close to the Lord and he's the one that gets to be such a leader in the church? There's no indication of that. You know, somebody you may bring to the Lord may overshadow you, as it were, in their prominence for the Lord. I think of D.L. Moody, the preacher of many years ago, and how he preached to many, many thousands of people were saved worldwide. I don't even know the name of the person who led D.L. Moody to the Lord. I've read that it was a Sunday school teacher who was a shoe salesman in a shoe store. D.L. Moody became famous, still is today, in Christian circles. His name is just, you know, equated with evangelism, soul winning. But that man who led him to the Lord, I'm sure he had no idea that that young lad that he led to the Lord would become the great evangelist. We have no idea what God is going to do in the life of somebody else. And as we think about that, you know, we don't say that poor shoe salesman, nobody even knows him, but everyone knew D.L. Moody. I'm sure that he was thrilled that D.L. Moody went on to be saved and do great things for the Lord. Simon's name was changed. He was surnamed. He became known as somebody different. His name really became Simon Peter, and often he is called Peter, and Simon's not even mentioned. Realize today that when you become a follower of the Lord, your whole reputation changes. God gives you a new name, a new reputation. The things you used to do, you don't do them anymore, and you became known, perhaps you were known once for being a brawler or a wicked person, and now it's like, oh, now that person and the people who meet you after and see the change in your life, and then they say, oh, that's not the way they are anymore. They're a new person. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should seek to reach others. Andrew found his family, his brother. Philip was called to follow. In verses 43 and 44, the day following, another day goes by here, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. John says that Jesus found Philip as he made his way to Galilee. It's not saying that Philip was lost physically. There wasn't a wanted poster out with Philip's name on it. It was like, where's this Philip guy? Jesus said, oh, I found him. He's over here. No, Jesus saw him. And he saw his need. And he said to Philip, follow me. Philip heeded Jesus' call and followed Jesus. Ultimately became a disciple of Christ himself. You know, isn't it interesting how some people are reached by a family member? You can see a direct connection. Simon, how did he come to the Lord? Andrew went and said, Simon, you got to come and meet the Lord. Sometimes we see somebody and we say, well, this person came to know the Lord because of a direct influence of this person in their life. And then there's other people who are a bit like Philip. You say, how did you come to the Lord? Well, God seemed to be working in my life. I didn't understand. I started seeking, and God doesn't operate the same way. He always uses people. Don't get me wrong. He always uses people as witness. But Philip just seemed to be out of the blue, standing there, and Jesus said, hey, Philip, come on, follow me. Didn't seem like there was that same interaction of a human contact other than the Lord himself. It's interesting how some people seem to be reached by a family member or friend, while others become believers in Jesus Christ quite out of the blue, we would say. Maybe it's just a series of events in that person's life. Maybe it just almost seems random of hearing something or seeing something, and that desire is placed in their heart to know more about this, and they come to know the Lord that way. You know, we'll never know this side of eternity the way God uses us in reaching other people. Whether it's through somebody else or whether it's just by God impressing upon somebody's heart, though, God is interested. He is seeking people to follow him. And Philip goes and finds somebody else. And we realize that Philip brought Nathanael, who we would say is a skeptic. He was a skeptic. Upon believing in and following Jesus, Philip finds his friend Nathanael. The Bible tells us that Andrew, Simon, and Philip were from Bethsaida, which is a town of Galilee. The name means a house of fish. Of course, they were all fishermen. Later on in the Gospel of John, we find that this Nathanael was from Cana, which we'll see, Lord willing, next week, where there was a marriage that took place in John chapter number 2. But Philip says to Nathanael in verse 45, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." He said to Nathanael, "I've found Jesus." We found the Messiah. That was his testimony. "I have found the Lord." He said Jesus is the fulfillment of Moses and the prophets. He says he's from Nazareth and he's the son of Joseph. Sometimes we fail to tell people about the Lord because we feel like we don't know enough. You know, really, Philip's knowledge doesn't seem to be really broad at this point, does it? He just says he's the fulfillment of Scripture. I met him. I believed in him. He's from Nazareth. And his father's name is Joseph. Not a great deal. We don't need to have a PhD or a doctorate degree or some kind of a formal education to start telling people about the Lord. Nothing wrong with having those things, but hey, don't say, "Well, until I know more, I really can't introduce anybody to the Lord," because Philip didn't know a whole lot, but he said, I'm going to tell my friend about the Jesus that I've met." Nathanael, of course, was skeptical. Of all the things that Philip said, he questioned one of them. He said in verse 46, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" How would you like to be from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there? It wasn't a town of known for prestige. I mean, it wasn't Bethlehem where the prophets had said that Jesus would be born. That may have been kind of what Nathanael was angling at here. But he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Sometimes people aren't unwilling to believe. They're just a little skeptical. They just wonder, "Really? Are you sure? Can anything good come out of that? Are you sure you believe that?" Sometimes we get scared away when somebody asks a question because we say, "Well, they seem to be doubting me. They don't want to believe. Maybe they just want to know more." Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I love Philip's response. "Come and see. Come and meet him." You're questioning who he is. You're questioning whether he can really be who I believe him to be. Just come and meet him for yourself. Come and see. Philip didn't try to convince Nathanael about a whole lot. He just said, "Come and meet him yourself." You know, there are times when we may have to persuade or convince people about the Lord, but there are many times we just need to invite them to come and meet him for themselves. Just come and meet him yourself. Just open up your Bible and start reading. You'll find him. He's there. Come and see. I like what took place. Of course, we know that Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." He wasn't saying he was perfect or sinless, but he was apparently a good person. Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" What a question. How do you know me? He knows everybody. He knows you and me still today. Jesus said to him, "Hey, before Philip came to you, I saw you under the fig tree." What? You weren't even around where I am. But Jesus was showing himself to Nathanael as to who he was. Never fear when you say to somebody, "Come and see, come and meet the Lord," that he will disappoint them. He never will. The Lord will never disappoint. You say, "Well, I just don't know what to say." Just invite them to Jesus. Just point them to Jesus. He'll do the rest. He won't disappoint them. He won't let them down. When Philip said, "Come and see," I don't think he knew that... that Jesus was going to say, "Hey, I saw you, Nathanael, when you're under the fig tree." But Philip so believed that Nathanael would believe in Jesus because Philip said, "I know who he is. I know that Jesus will show himself strong to this Nathanael, my friend. The Lord doesn't deal with everyone the same way. He dealt with Simon differently than he did with Philip, and Philip differently than he did with Nathanael. But he'll never let anyone down. The Lord knows all about us, just like he knew about Nathanael, because he's infinitely interested in our coming to know him. He wants us to follow him. I like what it says there, what Jesus said in verse 50. Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater than these. Nathanael, this is just the beginning. You think that's an amazing thing that I did? Oh, just you wait till you follow me a while and see what I can do in your life. Hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Oh, you're going to see much greater things. May I say to you this morning, when you begin following the Lord, it may be something in your life that triggers your attention and draws your attention to Him. Maybe what somebody else says and you begin to follow Him. But may I say to you this morning, as you follow the Lord, you'll see greater things than those. And one day we'll see greater things yet. We'll see Him face to face. We'll see the place that He's prepared for us. Oh, do you believe because you saw that? Well, praise God, that's great, but why, just hang on and wait a while and see the great things that you see in the future as you follow the Lord. A life of following Christ will reveal more of His grace, more of His strength, more of His power. You know, the people in our text today became followers of the Master. Are you a follower of the Master? To follow Him, you need to be introduced to Him. That's what the Bible is for. That's why John wrote these very words. That's what other believers are for, is just to introduce you to Jesus Christ. To follow Him is to believe in Him and why He came. Have you seen Jesus as the Lamb of God who came to take away not just the sin of the world, but came to take away your sin? To follow Him involves bringing others to Him. Some are easy to reach. Like Andrew. John said, behold the Lamb of God. He said, hey, if that's the Lamb of God, I'm following. Like Simon. Simon just became a follower just immediately. Others may be skeptical. They may need a couple questions answered, but just bring them to Jesus. We all have family who needs to hear who Jesus is, like Simon. And who can tell what God will do in their life? We have acquaintances, some of whom are skeptics, but just bring them to Jesus. He'll prove Himself to them. And Christian, as you follow Him, He'll never disappoint. There's more grace. There's more power. There's more strength. There are greater things that lie ahead. And so the question I have for you this morning is, are you following the Master?